Laura.
I'm Kate, and I'm still an Ordinand and will be for a long time to come due to the Panny D.
Exactly. We're here. I've built a pillow fort to make sure that acoustic is optimum, and Kate's up in, wrapped up in a blanket.
I don't know what difference it will make. We've never done this before, but now that everybody has making their homes into a home studio, this is what they're doing. So if Emily Maitlis does it, if it's good enough for her, it's good enough for me.
Absolutely. I was just on FaceTime with some very good friends, and they'd set their iPad up on the tripod, and then they got a light. They bought a light so that they could put that underneath to make sure the lighting was optimum. For not just for the FaceTime, because they're now an Instagram influence sensation for their
for the
youth work that they do.
Are they getting free things?
They're not getting free things yet. But
how many thousands of followers? Have they got the swipe up?
They haven't got the swipe up just yet, but they're aspiring to that. And if they're listening to this right now, then they'll be absolutely loving this.
Well, you need to say who they are so people can follow them and they can get up to 10,000 followers.
Well, that's true. Well, I tell you what, if you go, if our fantastic followers go and like Harrow Youth Collective, then that would make their day.
I am going to go and follow them.
Right now. Go on.
Well, not right now because I'm busy.
Oh, yeah, you're on the phone to me. But so, Kate, tell us. So your ordination's been postponed. Tell us what's going on for you right now. What's happening at the moment?
Well, I actually had quite a helpful email yesterday just explaining how things will happen, although they haven't yet circled down on an actual time or one date. We've got two dates. We have a Zoom call with the bishop in a couple of weeks to talk about things. And then we're all going to be licensed as lay ministers on the 4th of July. Apparently, our friends and family will be given the Zoom link if they want to watch.
Oh, that's so although lovely.
What they'd be to watch, I'm not really sure. And then we're having a retreat the day, like the couple of days before. And they said that you can go and stay somewhere and they'll pay. But I thought, well, what retreat centres are open?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because if that is okay, then I've got to go to Paris.
Yeah, get them to pay for Eurostar. Don't forget to take your face mask.
Although, unfortunately, then I'd have to come back and isolate for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. Wouldn't be the best start to ministry.
Yes, I'm afraid I can't come because I've been on holiday. It's not a retreat. It's not a holiday. It's a retreat.
And then we have another retreat day on the 25th of September. And they're hoping by then we'll all be able to be together.
Yeah. How exciting.
Yeah, so it's nice to have some kind of like detail.
Yeah.
I had all my robes come. All my shirts came, which I got kind of custom made. And unfortunately, what I was hoping would be kind of like baggy, boxy tops that I'd wear with skinny jeans, actually crop tops. So
very cool. Really good start to your ministry. Good look for the start of your ministry.
A ministry on the beach in my crop top clergy shirt.
Yes.
But I emailed the woman because I can't quite work out how it happened. And she said I could send them back and then they'll add some fabric.
Oh, cool. Okay. So
yeah, which is really kind.
Yeah.
Because basically emailed and was like, they have ended up being unwearable. And she said, well, we did wonder. And I thought, well, you could have maybe said.
Yeah. Well, the customer is always right.
Well, I don't know, but it's very generous and I'm very grateful because if I couldn't wear them, they'd probably be the most expensive items of clothing I'd ever bought that I couldn't wear.
Yes. Yes, very true.
And what's with you, Laura? How is life at Wycliffe?
Life at Wycliffe, well, it's got very quiet for me. I go to chapel every day. And then that's basically it, to be honest, at the moment. Working on some personal projects. The next 4 months are ripe for personal projects. In fact, I started a new book today that I'm really enjoying, and so that will probably take me until Tuesday. And then I'll just start ploughing through all the reading. Still at mum and dad's for lockdown.
How many rooms have you got, Laura?
Well, thanks for asking. I'm still really enjoying my four rooms.
I said to Laura that when it was possible, she could come and stay with me. But apparently only having access to two rooms wasn't good enough.
access to two rooms is good enough to stay for a few days.
Yeah, we had to discuss if she could maybe cover two or three nights.
Exactly, but then...
But she couldn't be expected to stay for a long period because she needed a working room, a sleeping room, a getting dressed room, and her own personal bathroom.
The great news is I've turned into an absolute princess in this lockdown.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, because this morning, for example, I texted my family to say, would anyone like to bring me a cup of tea in bed? And the good news is that somebody did.
Well, that's very good.
Which is very nice. Can I expect that sort of treatment when I come to Buckingham?
Yes, but you also did say that that every other day you would get up at 6:30 to let Charlie Parker, my new dog, into the garden to go for a wee.
Exactly, because I'm very committed to pet welfare and I love Charlie Parker so much.
I'm not, because I keep telling Laura about things I do to him and she's accused me of bullying.
I've not accused you, I've simply questioned. So I think this might be the first podcast since Charlie Parker came into our lives.
I think it might be.
Tell us, Kate, tell us how it's been. How's life as a dog owner? How has that changed your world?
Well, let me think about it. I'm still not sure that I'm a pet person, but I do really like him.
He is so gorgeous.
And he is a very good and faithful companion. And he doesn't smell that bad.
Yeah.
And he's just sort of sweet and we just sort of get on with life together. He gets very excited about any kind of food and any kind of package being opened because he expects that it will result in him having something in his mouth. I did say I will never feed him something that isn't dog food. Obviously, I've given him cake and sausage and bread and all kinds of different things.
And he likes to eat gravel, doesn't he? And other dogs poo.
Well, actually,
bark.
There was a great day this week where I got to try and help him pull a poo out of his bottom that had got stuck and also had to get a poo out of his mouth that he had eaten.
Yes, that sounds...
In a car park.
I said you're a very good and faithful servant to him.
Yeah, well, I don't want him eating poo.
No, I mean, that is a bit grim. Because if he eats the poo and then licks you...
He also hasn't been sick. He was sick a bit at one point and I was getting a bit worried. I can't remember what weeks, all the weeks become the same, don't they? But he hasn't been sick for quite a long time, so it's actually good. And he's put on weight. It turned out I was underfeeding him because I didn't understand the guidelines because I'm an idiot.
You're not an idiot. But he is going to be a bigger dog than perhaps
necessarily anticipated. I think I would maybe recommend when you're getting a dog, like, do some research into the size that they'll be, because that is sort of something you want to know.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be huge. Like, he's not going to be German Shepherd size.
No, he's not a Great Dane.
He's not going to be a Great Dane. He's not going to be a Dalmatian.
No.
He's going to be, like, a slim Golden Retriever.
Lovely. I think that's a lovely size for a dog.
Yeah, I do. It's sort of like a medium to large dog, not a large dog.
Yeah.
And also, who wants a little dog?
Yeah. I mean, no, I think you want a medium one to snuggle up with for your morning snuggle time.
He's not allowed on the sofa.
No, because you've got a lovely new velvet sofa, don't you?
Yeah, although I did put a blanket on it today. Sorry, with so much waffle here. And I tried to encourage him up. I put all his toys on it so that we could snuggle together and watch a terrible TV programme, but he didn't want to.
Oh, that's so sad. Come on, Charlie.
Instead, he wanted to continue eating the cardboard from the loo roll that I'd given him. He was loving.
Well, I mean, you're a very generous person to give him such a lovely treat.
You're right.
So we were going to talk about sort of leaving and transitions today in this episode of high quality content. We've all got a lot of transition going on at the moment, and some things that we're leaving and saying goodbye to. So my opening question for you, Kate, is leaving. How do you find that? Do you think it's important to leave things well? How do you go about that?
Well, this is the interesting thing, isn't it? I remember once reading a blog post that said that when you go to someone's house, don't say goodbye, just leave.
Oh, Interesting. Tell me more.
You know, obviously, if I came to your house, yeah, you and me, as it would be in these days, I would have to say goodbye.
Yeah.
But if you're at a big party and there were like 80 people there, don't bother, just leave. And I kind of quite like that because I think probably in that kind of environment, think if you make a big fuss about you going, it makes it about you, which I don't like. Mm. And also, makes it kind of open-ended that you're probably going to see that person again, which I quite like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually don't mind leavings because I quite like beginnings.
Ooh, okay. Tell us more about that.
Well, I just think it's quite exciting when a new chapter opens.
Yeah. The new, like, new people, new opportunities.
Yeah, just sort of, it's just like a fresh start, isn't it? It's a fresh new, what is this bit of life going to be? And I like change.
Yeah. Yeah, thrive on change. New, yeah, it's exciting. I think beginnings are often really exciting, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm trying to think about a time when I left. Like, I didn't cry when I left school.
Yeah.
I did cry when I left university. And I've never cried when I left a job.
Yes. That's interesting. Yeah, I was talking to Dad earlier actually about leaving some jobs and having and going back to see people from old jobs, and basically everyone always comments how well I'm looking, and I'm always like, that's because I'm not doing this job anymore. But I'm like, that's because there's been, you know, actually it's been fine to say goodbye and fine to leave. Like things came to their natural end, and it's important to, you know, mark the ending, but then actually there was always a really exciting new beginning, which is why.
Yeah, totally. And I think that particularly for me, what has kept me going through being on my own during lockdown has been this great and exciting change that's about to start and about to happen, that in less than a month I'll start my curacy, which is really exciting. I am also very excited that I have a whole month to just enjoy until we get to that point. But yeah, and I'm in this lovely new house, and I saw a friend today, went for a walk, and she said, do you miss your old house? And I said, no, I don't. As I was cleaning my old house just before I handed the keys to the estate agent, I was quite moved by thinking about all the memories in the house and like all the friends that had been there, all the dinners I'd had, all the meals where people had come round, all the parties, all the meaningful friendships that have been cemented in that house, and also kind of the low points in that house, and the way that was the point in living in that house I felt called to ministry, and like living in that house I'd gone off to Wycliffe, and living in that house I'd worked out where my curacy would be, and like living through that in that house I'd survived having depression for a year. And I did find that really moving. But then I moved to this new house and I started working out where things would go and kind of nestling in and you know, filling the rooms with my life. And that was really joyful, and that was more significant than leaving the old house that I'd lived in for 7 years.
Interesting, yeah. Because there's so much possibility ahead of you, isn't there? And so much to come in the next few years.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like there's this like upward trajectory, I suppose, or just the journey, maybe not upward trajectory, then it's the wrong word, but the journey that you're going on, it's like you've signalled the end of one part of a journey, and there's just so much more exciting stuff to come.
And you're moving forward.
Yeah.
And I think that is what is lovely. Yeah. When we decided that we would talk about leavings, I got out my copy, which we both have, of Every Moment Holy, which we both love.
Yes.
And there is a whole liturgy for leaving.
Oh yeah, go on, tell us.
It was about leaving people, which I really liked. And it said, even in our goodbyes, there is a blessing. So the sorrow of parting is a measure of the depth of the bond we have come to share in Christ.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that is, you know, that is so true for so many people who I won't get to say goodbye to from Wycliffe. And that does make me really sad that I will not get closure on theological college.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so strange, isn't it?
And that is strange. And I do feel sad. I wonder how I'll feel next year when you have your leavers week, if you get to like go to the ball, have the final formal dinner and like do all the really fun stuff that I didn't get to do, and then have your leavers week with your fellow leavers and your leavers photo, I wonder how I'll feel. Yeah. And I hope that by then I'll be so engrossed in kind of the joy, or so engrossed in my life that it won't bother me. And I hope that it won't.
Yes.
But I think that'll be the test for me of when I see other people in the future getting what I was, I guess, robbed of by the world situation.
Yeah.
How I feel.
Yeah.
I hope. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
We'll have to see. We'll wait and see. Yeah. 12 months time. Who knows what the world will look like? Because I think I was starting to get to that. I have got another year of college to go, but lots of my close friends are leaving this year. And I was starting to feel really emotional about that towards the end of last term. I remember crying in chapel one day because one of my good friends had spoken and I just burst into tears because I just couldn't bear the thought of college without them next year.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you, although when Kate speaks, it also is very moving. But you're only 30 minutes away and this other person's going to be hours away.
Yes.
And the fact that we haven't really been able to say goodbye is just really, it's just really strange. Already I was speculating about how strange next year might feel, having seen lots of people leave, but being in that sort of in-between stage of waiting to go and finishing up. And I'm really glad I've gotten a third year of training because I am 100% not ready. But I think probably by this time next year, I'll be itching to go. But there was just so many goodbyes and so many, you know, leaving moments that we were supposed to have this term that just haven't happened at all. And you're right, the closure and the lack of closure with some people that you have met and encountered, and you've encountered God through, but they're not close enough that you think, I'm really going to go out of my way to see that person again. But you never know how our lives will intertwine and we'll bump into people again in the future. And
I think that is true. And I think also, I think it helps that everybody else who is at university or who is studying has got this lack of closure.
Yeah.
You know, so for the rest of our lives, all students who were meant to graduate in 2020 will have this bond of, we all had this weird end.
Yeah, exactly.
There wasn't an end.
Yeah. So strange.
And I do think that God has been very kind to me in that when I, you know, when I really, really began to realise that I was not going back to Wycliffe, because I guess in March, you just kind of thought it wouldn't last that long.
Yeah, I thought we'd be at least physically back in Wycliffe in some way this term.
Yeah, I did. By the end of term, I didn't think it would be immediate.
Yeah.
But I did think probably by like week 7, week 8, we'd be able to. Or I thought, well, that we'll be able to do something in September and we'll all be able to come back.
Yeah, but
that I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
When I really thought, I was really upset and kind of angry.
Yeah.
But I have felt God soften me and kind of help me to think, I will feel, I think, very bonded with all the other deacons of 2020.
Yeah.
In that we are really welded and bonded by this unique situation.
Yeah. 100%. Your WhatsApp group with your buddies.
With my buddies. There has been a detailed discussion today about moving companies. Ooh. Some apparently are very bad.
Okay. Presumably it's too little. I mean, are people presumably finding this out about how bad some of them are through experience?
And then saying, do not use this one.
Oh gosh, that is stressful.
I guess we should say at this point, we realise that a big discussion is happening in the world at the moment about race.
Yes.
I'm sure that we will do a podcast talking about this, but in the podcast that we do on that, it should not just be us.
Yes. We'll get some guests.
We will get some. Definitely thinking and planning about how we could do something and how we could like talk about that and think about that, but also absolutely recognising that Laura and Kate, two white middle-class women from England, you don't really need to hear our thoughts. But have you read any good books?
Well, I haven't read any. I've read some fiction, some good fiction books since last we spoke.
Oh,
I've finally finished The Plague,
okay,
which is fascinating and well worth a read. I would say I would love to reflect on it, but I just don't know how to do that without giving lots of spoilers. But
well, presumably there's a massive plague.
There is a massive plague, exactly.
What point in France is it set?
In terms of time-wise?
Yeah.
It's in, like, the 1940s, I think.
Oh, wow. Is it a disease?
So it is a disease.
Okay.
And there's a lot of speculation about whether it's a reflection on like, Nazi occupation.
Interesting.
And, like, is it actually a physical disease?
Okay.
And there's kind of mixed opinion in people commentating on the book about whether it is about an actual physical disease or whether it's something, you know, is it about evil? You know, is it about evil and the human condition?
Well, what do you think it's about?
Well, I do think it's about, I think there is something about the human condition in it that is basically, that is kind of what it's trying to say. The trouble I'm just not very good at reading between the lines. So I've watched a couple of videos about it afterwards to help sort of unpack that a bit more.
Yeah.
But one of the really interesting things at the end is basically kind of reflecting on when people come out of plague, are they ever the same again? And when you meet people again, are you expecting to meet the same person that you were separated from?
That is very interesting. Do they go into a lockdown where they have to stay in their houses?
Yeah, they lock the whole town. So within the town they could mingle, but for over a year they didn't mingle. They didn't mix with anyone outside their town.
And
they only got a few hours notice, so they didn't even have a chance to say goodbye. So some people, like their spouses, were in different places and they'd gone away for a few days and then they didn't see them for over a year.
I actually know someone in South Africa who went on a date just before lockdown was announced.
Yeah.
In a different town and ended up staying there because it was like a blind date.
Yeah.
So I guess he had to fly. He flew there and went to visit her. Then the lockdown happened. So he's had to stay with her and her family and now they're officially dating.
Oh my gosh.
I know, crazy.
Has he planned to stay over at her house then?
No. I don't think so. I don't quite know the ins and outs. It's quite a funny story.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah. I would like to read that. I watched Contagion this week.
Yes, you were telling me about it. Yeah. Tell us. It
has so many similarities with COVID. It was actually crazy. Because at the end, they explain how it started. And it starts with bats and the live animal market in China, which is what the speculation is about where COVID-19 came from.
Yeah. So interesting. Yeah. I'm going to watch that.
You should watch it, yeah. I was talking to my other friend about it and she said, oh, I think I'm going to watch it now.
You've got another friend other than me?
No, just two. I've only got two.
I talked to my one other friend. Have you been reading anything interesting?
Well, I'm currently reading Why I'm Not Talking to White People About Race.
Yes.
I normally read a book a week, but I can't remember what I finished last.
You read the Crawdads book, didn't you?
I read a book after that. I can't remember what it is, but that's not very interesting. The Crawdads book, Where the Crawdads Sing, was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. Yeah, we need to get back into reading. But I've been a bit watching TV this week. We watched this TV program called Sweet Magnolias. Then we discovered that it's a book series and I want to read them
all. There's 11 books. Exactly. It's going to be so... I love Sweet Magnolias. I love a program that celebrates female friendship. That's
and
what I just love that.
Where actually, when it all started, like one of them was getting divorced and the other two were single. And you were like, yes, female friendship can exist. Women can exist where the aim of their life is not just to get a boyfriend.
Exactly. And what's that principle where in a film, I can't remember what it's
called. The Bechdel test.
Yeah, exactly. When they have a conversation, two women have a conversation that's not about a man. And I just love Sweet Magnolias. Ding, 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 all over.
Yes,
they just.
That's so true. It absolutely passes the Bechdel test.
Absolutely does.
Well, we recommend that.
Yeah.
I've watched TV this week and it's been lovely.
That's very good. I'm going to do a lot of TV watching from this moment. Well, I've watched all of Vicar of Dibley as well as all of Sweet Magnolias and all of Schitt's Creek. So now... I really need to do some reading. which I will do.
On a rainy, cloudy weekend, you just want to watch TV.
Exactly. Law listeners, thanks so much for staying with us. I'm Laura.
I'm Kate.
And we'll speak to you soon.
Bye. Bye.